Father, we come to this passage now, having survived the previous week. Thank you for helping us survive the previous week. And now, Lord, as we have sung the songs and as we have read the scripture, bring us closer to this passage. Show us what you want us to learn from this passage. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all our hearts, be acceptable to you, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. And the people said, Amen. It was August 1988. It was the old Kuala Lumpur airport in Malaysia. My parents and my brother were there. I was about to leave to go to Vancouver. My spiritual experience in the Christian Fellowship at university in Australia many, many years before made me thirsty for more spiritual experiences. I felt that God was calling me to go to Regent College in Vancouver to do some biblical and theological studies. And while I was still relatively young, I wanted to spend some time in reading the Bible and thinking through its theological themes. I hugged and kissed my parents goodbye. As the plane left the airport, a horrible thought came upon me. And it was the first time I ever had that feeling and that thought in my life. My parents were getting on in years, and mom and dad had their health problems. What if that parting at that airport was the last time I ever saw them alive? Would that final parting in the airport be my final impressions of mom and dad? And as the plane took off and I looked out the window, I suddenly realized that life can be fragile and that sometimes things that we take for granted, things that we thought will last forever, don't last forever. And sometimes those things take a turn for the worse. So, we've read about this apocalyptic passage now, but there is a background to this passage which we just read. And in some ways, Jesus is teaching his disciples something about what I experienced on that plane that day. He's teaching them something about what I would call the fragility of life, the temporary nature of our experiences on earth. That things that we hold on that we thought lasted forever don't last forever. So Jesus is in the temple, and he's in this temple, and his disciples are just totally overwhelmed by this temple. Because as they look around in the temple, they look at the gifts, the nature of the architecture, whatever, they are overwhelmed by what they see. And as they go out there to, they look at these incredible stones that have been laid by King Herod to build the temple. And it took 46 years to build this temple. Luke 21 verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. They are surprised. This temple is so massive. How can this temple be destroyed with no stone left on another? and every one of those stones thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? What will be the sign that they are about to take place? And so that this is where the apocalyptic, quite pronounced reading that we've just read just now is done by Jesus. And the year, it is about AD 30. AD 30. And Jesus actually warns them about the coming destruction of Jerusalem by the Romans in AD 70. But that's the last thing on the minds of Jesus' followers. They know that the Romans have occupied their territory, but the Romans, by and large, have allowed them to carry on their religion in the midst of this. And this temple built by King Herod, King Herod was allowed by Rome to build this temple, that can't be. This structure is so strong, so beautiful. There's no way this structure is going to crumble. Then he warns them about some scene that will happen 40 years down the road that they can't even conceive. And in verse 20 of chapter 21, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its destruction is near. Now, just to highlight that we experience the fragility of life, I'm going to name three names right now, three words, just to let you know that we live in a world of the fragility of life. Kodak. Blockbuster Video. Nortel. Okay, just to give you some experiences that sometimes things that we take for granted and strong can totally fall apart in our midst. So we have start with the first Sunday of Advent today. Advent means coming. When we celebrate coming, we celebrate the coming of God into this world as Jesus Christ. So at this discussion of the temple about, say, 30 to 33 years earlier, Jesus was that baby born in a manger in a stable in Bethlehem. Jesus was that baby, okay? And he is and was God come in human flesh. So why does God come in human flesh? Why does God, if you like, reduce himself to a mere baby, to a mere human being, in the stable? Well, in Matthew 1, verse 21, the angel says to Joseph, his name will be named Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Save us from our sins. Jesus needs to save us from our sins because we live in a fallen state. A fallen state means destruction. In my opinion, the future destruction of the temple predicted by Jesus is a parable about the fragility of life caused by our fallenness. And you know, right? We as human beings, in our blind selves, think that we can build temples that last forever. We do not want to face the fact that as a fallen human race, everything that we do in life is actually transient. There is only one constant if we truly believe in a divine being of eternity. It is him. And we do not want to face the fact that as a fallen human race, we are in need of a rescue from someone from the outside, not from the inside, where there is the fallenness of humanity. We need a rescue from someone from eternity. The God of eternity has come in human flesh. to save us from our sins. Yes, there is the fragility of life. Yes, we will all die one day. However, God has entered humanity to save us for what we are truly created for: a life with an eternal God. So Advent, beyond the Christmas trees and the Christmas dinners, is actually a celebration. It's actually a celebration of how the eternal God comes into this world, his earthly creation, to save us, time-limited human beings, from our sins. And we have become self-centered, sinful human beings, thinking that we can build temples that last forever. However, God comes down to tell us that the only temple that God is interested in building is not a temple that is built of bricks and stones. It is a temple that is built of people. A temple of people who have come to him for saving grace. That is the temple that God would like to build. And so, if you read the Old Testament very closely and you go into the New Testament, you will find that the language of temple changes from the Old Testament into the New Testament. In the Old Testament, you have this focus on bricks and stones and observation of certain rituals. However, when you go into the New Testament shifts its focus, and the New Testament says that the temple is where God dwells, and God dwells in the hearts of his people. And so, in the New Testament, there is this image of the temple built up of little stones, and the little stones there, well, first of all, that's the major stone, the cornerstone, who is Jesus. And then if you read the New Testament, it talks about consisting of little stones of people. So it moves from, if you like, a focus on building to a focus on people. And so, therefore, certain situations change. And so, as Jesus tells this, he says this. He's really saying, the temple, this temple that you see here built by Herod, it's a passing phase. It will not last forever. And I've got news for you. Heaven and earth will not pass forever. Will not go on forever. And I'll explain this further as we go on here. So I would like to ask you to read these words with me, because these words of Jesus really talked about what he's trying to say. So if we can read these words together. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So I left Malaysia in 1988. By God's grace, Mom and Dad were able to come to visit me in Vancouver the next year, in May. I finished my 1 year postgraduate diploma at Regent College, Vancouver. They were able to come and see me and take my diploma. In fact, God will enable me to visit Malaysia many times after that. Luke was born in 2002, and he got to visit his grandmother twice before she went home to be with Jesus in February 2005. And I have gone home to Malaysia many times after my initial trip to Vancouver in 1988. So in some ways, that was not the last time I saw my parents when I left Kuala Lumpur Airport in 1988. I could still return and meet with my parents. And I'm so grateful that my late mother was able to although she was really suffering from a lot of the complications with the diabetes, she was really able to see and hold baby Luke in her arms. Jesus reminds his followers that he too will come back. But when he comes back, it will not be as this baby that's born in a manger. He will come back again as the ultimate king. And this is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that Jesus will return as a king, as the divine Son of Man in the clouds. So when you see the metaphor of clouds in the Bible, it's actually a metaphor that describes the surrounding of kings. Like the king is seated on his throne with clouds of and angels around him. That is the image. So when you talk about the Son of Man in the clouds, that actually means Jesus as the enthroned king coming into our midst. So right now we live in the in-between time between the first coming of Christ and the second coming of Christ. And let us now look at these passages. Okay, just let's look at these passages. At that time, so this is the final time when Jesus comes again. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And so therefore, we now live in what I call the in-between time. So notice that there's this creation of the heavens and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. Okay? And then the first coming of Christ happens. We have the cross and the resurrection. And then Christ's second coming as ultimate king. And notice, okay, because I said heaven and earth will pass away, and Jesus actually said that in that passage which we just read. Because in Revelation 21, okay, so in the first chapter in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. But in the second last chapter of the Bible, Revelation 21, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Okay, so I believe that is why Jesus says heaven and earth will pass away, because we will reach a time when Jesus comes again, when everything will be new. And I think the key thing for us to remember is that in Revelation 21, when Jesus comes again, there will be no more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more death. Okay? All the things that we suffered in life will no longer exist in that final day. And so right now, we live in the in-between time. The in-between time between Jesus' first coming and Jesus. And when Jesus comes the first time, he leaves us with impressions of his salvation, of his saving grace, because he creates this thing that's called the church, which is the new version of the temple, which exists as people of the church. And finally, when he comes back again, we will celebrate that final meal. And this meal that we celebrate today is just a foretaste of that final meal which we will have with each other. Some of you were blessed to be at the meal we had last night. And I believe that when there is a good meal, and I relate well to people in the meal, we are connected with each other, it is small reflections like this that remind us about how that great meal in heaven will be when Jesus comes again, where we'll be truly connected with each other, and yes, we will have a great turkey dinner and other delights that I like too. So we are now just waiting for that time. And this is an inspiration for us as we move towards that time. And so in a moment, we'll be celebrating this meal, and we will be remembering about the first coming. We'll be looking back at Jesus' blood and Jesus' death, if you like, okay? But then it's also a forward-looking meal to the time when we will truly be with Jesus when he comes back again. So therefore, let us read this final verse together and prepare ourselves for this meal. Let us read it, because this is a reminder that Jesus gives to us that this is an in-between time meal. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.